Hunter at Sunrise, 89.5 WHRV, HD2 Alt Radio, and HunterAtSunrise.com.
And you're listening to Hunter at Sunrise, acoustic, eclectic music for your Sunday morning, streaming live at HunterAtSunrise.com, WHRV.org, AltRadio.org. And we're on your digital radio at 89.5 WHRV, HD2, Alt Radio. You know we like to do acoustic sessions on this show, especially ones brought to you with support from Christine Wern and the Chrism Institute of Aesthetics in Virginia Beach, making passion for skincare profession. You can check out their ad at HunterAtSunrise.com. And joining me here in the studio after a long absence is Lola and Tom. How are you guys today?
Doing well. Hi. Yeah,
we're so glad to be back.
Yes. It feels good. I hope you had a good trip down here.
We did.
Yeah, we did. It was a nice drive.
Excellent. Excellent. What would you like to play for us first before we get to talking here?
We're going to start with a song called Folded Flowers.
Excellent. Here's Lola and Tom here on Hunter at Sunrise.
People all around me, eclipsed by my beside.
Let me just see your cold face. Remember that it is not a race. We're just folded flowers. Folded flowers.
Lolan Tom here on Hunter at Sunrise. Man, it's great to see you guys again. It's always great to listen to you. And we've been listening a lot here on this radio show to you. And congratulations, you just put out a single, didn't you?
We did. Yeah, thanks so much.
Yeah, the name of the album, the single is I Won't Hurt You, right?
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. It's a song from the 60s, the West Coast Pop art experimental band originally recorded the song, and it's just a spectacular original recording. And we're doing this EP, or this EP that we recorded is coming out in January. This was the last single from that EP, but all the other songs are original.
Oh.
And this one cover, it just felt like we were reaching into a different kind of sonic space, and the EP is called Another Side of Lolan Hum.
Mm-hmm.
And so we felt that this should be included on an EP that's kind of a lot of revisited versions of older songs, where we kind of, in many cases, changed all the melodies and some of the chord changes of old songs. And it's been kind of a time of reinvention for us, and we're excited about that. But something about this kind of piercing, vulnerable 60s song touched where we are right now in a certain sense, and so it felt good to inhabit that space on the recording.
How do you find these songs? I mean, you guys cover some rather, well, let's just say a wide variety of songs, and songs I haven't heard of. I had never heard of the Glen Campbell tune, Guess I'm Dumb, and you did something. That was a great song.
I love that song.
Why haven't I heard about this song before?
In the last few years, I've gotten really into this History of Rock and Roll podcast by Andrew Hickey, and it's called The History of Rock and Roll in 500 Songs. And there's very deep dives on each episode. It centers around a song, but it's kind of about the whole scene out of which a song emerges and a band emerges. And so I learned about the Glen Campbell song because when Brian Wilson was having trouble touring with the Beach Boys I think it was in 66, Glen Campbell stepped in for him.
Mm-hmm.
And as a thank you, Brian Wilson wrote that song, Guess I'm Dumb, and gave it to him. And said, hey, you should record this before the Beach Boys do. And Glen Campbell had a hit with it, but it was, you know, it wasn't a kind of hit as big as Wichita Lineman or some of the later things that came. But his vocal performance on that song is absolutely spectacular. And the melodies are so Brian Wilson, but kind of one of his greatest melodies. The combinations of melodies on that song are just so surprising. And we are deeply inspired by some of these deep dives we've been doing, and I think a lot of it is just following our interest and following what fires us up. And we've had less time because we have two kids now, so more of our time is going to caring.
Yeah, we're
going to
get to that.
Caring for them, but because of that, when something really strikes us, it sometimes is a good way to get in the studio to try to reinterpret something that's inspiring us as listeners,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of gets our wheels turning, and then we start writing. Once the wheels are turning, it starts to turn into the original creative space for us.
Well, as long as we're on the subject of covers, you did this album solo. And
oh, yeah.
Peter Gabriel's songs done in such an interesting acoustic way. I mean, I played Sledgehammer quite a few times.
I
like you guys' version of that song, and Red Rain, and all these songs that are on low. And I just think I think, how did you decide to choose? How did you choose to do that?
That was after our first son was born, right at kind of like when COVID was at its height. And we felt like it was like 2 months into parenthood. And we felt like we kind of need to maybe start like thinking about getting back into the studio, but we definitely did not have the bandwidth to start writing again. Mm-hmm. We were very sleep deprived and just kind of barely hanging on.
Really?
So we thought maybe it would be easier to like inhabit and translate someone else's stuff. But really what happened was our manager at the time was like,
No. I've always been super into that album. So, and I said as a joke to our manager, hey, we're a little bit too tired to write, but we're just going to instead cover a whole Peter Gabriel record. And I was joking. And then we sent him the verse and chorus of Sledgehammer
as a joke.
And because I know he loves that album too. And he just called me right away and was like, hey, man, I think that might have been a joke, but I think you should actually do it.
Yes.
And so then I started kind of being like, well, that's kind of fun. That'd be really fun. And it's a challenging record and an incredible pop masterpiece. So wading into those songs was really fun. And it's interesting what happens if you know when you're writing your own songs. One of the questions is this song good enough to go on a record? Do we need to change the lyrics? When you're doing when you're covering a whole record and you love every song, you're not asking any of those questions. You know these songs are good.
It's proven.
Yes. You know the lyrics are done.
Yeah.
Peter Gabriel's
no slouch in being a writer.
Right. And so we just were able to kind of think about how do we tip the hat while also reinterpreting. If we don't change it enough, it's like might as well just listen to his record.
Yeah,
because it's an amazing record. But we tried
that we could ever even.
No, we weren't even trying to reach near it. But the idea of paying homage without just recreating it, it felt like an inspiring and exciting way to get back in the studio as sleep deprived people. And I don't know if we would have tried it if we weren't sleep deprived,
because
it was pretty ambitious, we realized, once we got in it. But
I guess the kids have really changed your life.
That's right.
They have.
How is it being a parent, especially here at Christmas time?
Yeah, it's amazing. I tell people it's like more of everything in all directions. Like
really?
More joy, more desperation. You just feel more of everything. But Christmas time so far has been really, really fun. I really enjoy this time of year. And our oldest is about to turn 4, and he's like my little
Christmas spirit ally. He's into it.
He's all about it. Yeah, it's really sweet.
That's cool. It's really cool.
One other thing I would mention is that it's also so interesting how we take for granted how things certain basic things just sound so odd to a kid.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how everyone decorates it at Halloween with these skeletons,
mm-hmm.
and it would seem to be kind of freaking our three, almost 4-year-old son out. Like he was kind of scared of them a little bit.
Sure.
And Lauren said, "Well, you know, skeletons don't have to be scary. We all have one inside of us."
Oh
and,
boy.
And he was like, "What did you just
say?" That's the wrong thing to say.
And he said,
like, "What?"
He said, "Mama, can it move?"
And is so, it scary?
She meant that.
We've had to check out some books about skeletons for him from the library, and he's doing better with it now.
Yeah. But it's just that it just is a you re-experience everything as you realize. Just saying it that way isn't as clear as I would have imagined. So it's kind of like a rediscovery of each new season.
Yeah.
Well, it's amazing that during the pandemic you were able to put out so much material. You put out At Home, which I guess is kind of like about the pandemic, isn't it? Excuse me if I'm wrong.
It's flowing from it was the first time we'd ever – in our whole relationship, it was the first time we'd ever been in one place – for more than a week or two at a time, because we toured the first 8 years or 9 years of our band. We toured most of every year.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden we're just home for like an entire year. So what ended up happening was all kinds of stuff in the music changed. And then we were reflecting on how like we just weren't good at stationary living. We didn't know how to do it. We're like, how do we do this?
I don't think a lot of people knew how to do it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. So it was just I know we were all adjusting so much during that time, but we called the record At Home because it felt like the very first time we'd been at home in an extended way. And I think a lot surfaced from all the years of touring. And I think that's part of why we've recorded and written so much.
Mm-hmm.
Even with having young kids, it still seems like all of the compressed experience of so much travel for so many years seems to both come out.
Keeping a fast pace on the road doesn't allow certain kinds of processing. So being home and being slowed down allowed a lot more things to come to the surface that maybe, we felt it was helpful to process in music form.
Yeah. Well, we're talking with Lowland Hum, by the way, here on our show this morning. What else would you like to play for us?
Well, since you mentioned At Home, we're thinking we're going to play Where Are You from that record.
Okay.
This is a bit of a rearrangement, but it is still that song.
Okay. Here's Lowland Hum here on Hunter at Sunrise.
Tried to text on my new watch this morning. I wonder why we did away with keys and buttons.
Held it up and I tapped out this morning.
But I couldn't tell if anybody got it.
Handyman in the next room was talking.
Made me nervous, so I thought I'd go out walking. Oh, where are you? Feels good to get outside of the apartment.
Drown the noise with my own private soundtrack.
On the street, everyone looks so busy. Check in and see if anybody misses me. Where are you? Where are you? Where are you? Where are you?
Tried to talk to my new watch this evening. Lovely voice, but a
fills me in on the news of our home team.
Boarded the birds near the airport.
Spread a picnic out on the tarmac for us. Where are you?
She lights up when she sees my face now.
Listens more than any. Soon swallowed. Where are you? 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 Where are you?
Lowland Hum here on Hunter at Sunrise, and they are here in our studio. Yeah, this was a great album too. In fact, you've had so many. It's just how many full length albums of original music have you put out?
I think eight.
Eight.
Yeah, not including the Christmas. Yeah.
And you've been active since like 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, is that right?
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So that's a lot of writing.
Yeah.
You guys sit around all day and write.
Not as much as you would think.
Unless you have children.
Yeah,
then you don't. Sure.
We walk around and write. Yeah. We stand up and write.
Well, you moved out to a farm, right?
It's not truly a farm. It's more just like a little rural property where we were. There used to be horses there. So there was a little kind of dilapidated stable that shortly after we moved there, a friend helped us turn it into a studio.
Right. Actually, that friend is Ben Hardesty, who's the singer of The Last Bison.
Yes.
Yeah,
and we're performing
local to this area.
Yeah, this will be on Sunday
Yeah, we're Sunday right now, but you performed last night.
Yeah, we performed last night with The Last Bison. And so
at the Annex,
yeah,
which
the Annex.
I have yet to visit. I have not visited that place yet. But,
yeah, Ben basically built our studio. He was the skilled worker, and we were handing him nails and things like that.
Yes.
Well, am I correct in saying I saw something you posted about the studio got messed up by a tornado?
Yeah,
a tornado threw a tree onto the top.
Kind of like speared it with
it
a
kind
tree.
Of like,
oh, no.
Yeah, like the top 40 feet of a tree got removed by a tornado and transplanted onto the studio. But through the generosity of some fans and friends and family and a long battle with State Farm, eventually we got it fixed.
No, you had trouble with an insurance company?
Yeah,
they didn't want to pay somehow. It seems very weird. But
That is amazing to me.
Doesn't make sense.
And also, I saw a post, and maybe this is an old post. I don't know. It's hard to tell when I'm on Instagram what's old and what's new. But you had some problem with flying squirrels.
Oh, my.
Oh, yes. That was a long debacle, and it just resolved about a month or two ago.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
So it was this year you were.
Yeah, we live in the woods. I mean, it's rural where we live, and we're in the woods north of Charlottesville. And I guess there are flying squirrels there, and we live in a log cabin. And flying squirrels, they need to sharpen their teeth.
When they're born, they have to dull their teeth.
Oh, dull
on something.
Their teeth. I'm sorry. That's
and
right.
And so they often, I guess, chew on houses or other things. But there was one that was chewing on our bedroom wall right above where our heads are when we're sleeping.
And
multiple
nowhere else.
Times
only,
every night.
And only at night while we're asleep.
This lasted for about 8 months.
Oh, my gosh.
And our kids were sleeping through the night at this point. So it was especially like devastating.
It's like, not now.
But that ended a couple months ago, and I feel like we're finally like recovering our sanity and our health. It really it affected us very intensely, I will say. Like,
this is all revealing to me that there are flying squirrels in the state of Virginia.
I know. We didn't know that either.
I had no idea.
It was sort of like an extremely extended Seinfeld episode that you don't want to watch, basically.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Interesting. Well, you did put out, I would say, an EP album type thing this year called Singing Other People's Sad Songs, which was an addendum to, I guess, singing other people's love songs.
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
So what made you want to do this?
We just – it's kind of like when we hear a song that really – just excites us. We kind of just add it to a list of things that we might be interested in covering someday. And then if we kind of notice like, oh, there's kind of a theme among this little grouping of songs, maybe it becomes a singing other people's fill in the blank songs. I don't know.
Is that the next one?
We have some other ideas. Singing other people's space songs, singing other people's, there was one other one we had talked about.
I don't know.
And
I was lobbying for seeing other people's spy songs. We'll see what happens.
There are spy songs?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
Goldfinger.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Now I gotcha. All right. And you were on Instagram asking people to send you ideas, it sounded like. Was this recent?
Current and ongoing.
It's our next project.
Yeah.
That's the next project.
Yeah, I think just like since our first kid was born in COVID times, all of that, it's been about 4 years since we've been on the road in any really heavy sort of way. And I think it's been hard to feel how our music connects with other people's lives. And we just miss being connected to other people. We're at home almost all the time. And so we had the idea to we used to have this thing where Daniel would sing kind of like improvised songs for
people. Yes, I've heard that.
Song telegram. People could be like, can you sing a song for my mom? She just had surgery and she's feeling kind of bummed. You know, things like that. And we did that for a couple years. But then we just thought, like, what if we actually like really wrote songs inspired by what other people send us? And so there's a form on our website right now that just says Lowland Tom is ready to write a song for you. Start here. And if you go there, you can send us something. It can be anything, really. And we are just kind of slowly working through those one at a time, working on songs. And it's been incredible. I mean, I'm kind of amazed and honored by the things people have chosen to share with us and trust us with. And
do you know how many you've gotten so far?
I think we've gotten 43 submissions so far, and wow, we've written 6 songs from that. And the idea is we'll write enough for the first collection of submission songs and then start to record those as the next album.
Mm-hmm. Now, will it be obvious to the listener, and I mean the listener who submitted it, that it's their song? Or?
I would think so, but some of them transform from what they're sharing into whole other things. And we try to inhabit what they're sharing and then write it. You know, we're going to – our presence is going to be in the song as well, of course. And so we really try to start with what they're sharing and go where that takes us. So sometimes it's kind of a one-to-one type representation, but a lot of times, and we say this in the form.
There's a lot of caveats at the top of the form.
We just say, we don't know what's going to happen. Like, when you share something with us, it might inspire us, and then we sends us off in a completely different direction than what you were even sharing. But we want to, the idea would be that we're starting with someone else's inception point or beginning idea rather than following only our own curiosity. Mm-hmm. In our songwriting. Not that there's anything wrong with that. We're still writing that way too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this felt like a way to create from connection, from direct connection with people.
Mm-hmm. Right. We're talking with Lowland Hum here on Hunter at Sunrise. Would you like to do one more for us real quick here?
Sure.
That'd be great. Yeah, we were thinking of doing one off of our Christmas record.
Yeah.
Because it's that time. It's that time of year.
Is it Christmas already?
I think we're almost there.
We're almost there.
This one is, do you want me to go ahead and go for it?
Yes. Well, sure.
Okay. This one is, Johnny Cash originally wrote this, but he wrote lyrics to a traditional melody, the melody for Streets of Laredo, which is kind of an old Western song. So this is called We Are the Shepherds.
Excellent. Here's Lowland Hum here on Hunter at Sunrise.
So here is the stable. But we brought a candle. It's all that we have, but it gives a good light. We are the shepherds. We walked across the mountains. We left our flocks when the new star appeared. Oh, the beautiful singing. Such a small offering, but our sheep are out there with wolves in the night. We bring you this candle, it's all we have with us, but with it the new Savior has his first light. We are the shepherds, we walked across the mountains. We left our flocks when the new star appeared. Oh, the beautiful singing of heavenly choir. We had to come see him. We had to come here. Joseph, for bidding us enter, please take our gift for the new babe to thine. 'Tis only one candle, but it is our symbol of how we believe that his great life will shine. We are are the shepherds. We walked across the mountains. We left our flocks when the new star appeared. Oh, the beautiful singing of heavenly choir. We had to come see him. We had to come here. We had to come see him. We had.
Lola and Hum here on Hunter at Sunrise. You guys have such a beautiful touch. Oh, it's a beautiful touch with music. It's great. I really enjoyed that. And I enjoyed that Christmas record. I play it every year on
thank
the show.
You so much.
So.
Oh,
yes, for sure. For sure. I really appreciate you guys doing this today.
Yeah,
we're so glad to be with you again, and hopefully it won't be 5 years before we come again.
Yeah, you got to come down here more often. You know, yeah. We've got a beach.
I know.
There's a lot to do
like
here.
Ocean.
Why aren't we coming here? Me too.
Got a beach and the ocean.
Yeah.
And it's warm usually,
yeah.
Although it's not
right.
That so today. And But I really appreciate you doing this, and I wish you the best with your trip back to Charlottesville and with
thank
the two children.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
My gosh. 2 and 4. That must be a handful.
It is.
It's full on, but it's good too.
Yeah.
Lola and Hum here on Hunter at Sunrise.